Let us turn then to the chapter of God's Word, which we read together in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and let us consider together verse 22. Revelation 3, and at verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now here we have in these two chapters, chapter 2 and 3, the series of seven letters to various churches in the province of Asia. That's according to the Roman division of Western Turkey. There was Ephesus, there was Smyrna, and so on. And each of them received a letter written by John, but you might say as dictated by the Lord Jesus Christ from his throne in glory. But at the same time, there was the activity of the Holy Spirit in giving these letters to John, because, as our text says, they were to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, these words appear at the end of every epistle. I've taken the last of them for our text, but it basically wouldn't matter which of them we had chosen, each of these letters to the various churches, indicating to them what was wrong, indicating to them what needed to be put right, and so on. They were to listen to what the Spirit was saying to the churches, and we are to listen, not only as a church, but as individuals. We are to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches today. Now, I'm not expecting to make comments on churches as such, not to make comments on this church as such. But every church is made up of individuals, and it is as individuals I am expecting to address you today, in the hope that the Holy Spirit would apply the truth to our souls. And what I propose to do is to consider first of all what the Spirit says, and to pick out particular statements made not only to the Church of Laodicea, from whose letter our text is taken, but from other letters as well. Not all of them, possibly, but one thing that might be said is that the church, what is said to the various churches here, is what has to be said, with one emphasis on another, to every church and to the people of every church, in every part of the world, and in every age of time. Whatever state a church is in, whatever state an individual in any particular church is in, you'll find something relevant in these letters. Well, first of all, what the Spirit says, and then secondly, the call to hear, the call to listen, the call to take in what is said. So as far as we are concerned, we as individuals, yes, together, but as individuals in particular, we are to take in what has been said to us today and every day, whether it is from any particular epistle to these various churches, or from any part of the Word of God which we may read, or hear read, or which we may hear mentioned in a sermon, or which may come to our mind, or which may form the basis for a sermon. First then what the Spirit says, and then the call to hear. Well, what is the Spirit saying? The Spirit gives a revelation to the world. You might say that God gives a revelation to the world, but in particular what you have is the Spirit who gave all Scripture by inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, and so on. It's the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. The word Spirit in Greek and in Hebrew, it's the same word as for breath or for wind, according to what the context is. And if the idea is that the word of God is breathed out, then there's an immediate association there with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave the word. Or as Peter puts it, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, as they were carried along by the Holy Ghost. Now, we might notice too what Paul was saying in his first epistle to the Corinthians. He asked, first of all, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? That's an illustration. But it's true. It wouldn't work as an illustration if it wasn't true. That no one can know what is going on in our minds except ourselves, unless we tell out what is in our minds. There may be some outward signs, but that's all they are, just outward signs of what is going on in our minds. Now, his next question is this. No, his next statement is this. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. It's only the Spirit of God that can tell what is in man. We can't work out what is in somebody else. Even more, we cannot work out what is in the mind of God. We need God's help. We need a revelation. And that's what we've got. There's something to hear. The Spirit has been speaking. The Spirit of God has been speaking. The Spirit of God has been giving a revelation. Now, I've said they are the epistles from Christ. I've said they were given by the Holy Spirit. And where does the word of God, where the work of one stop and the work of the other begin? Well, that's not a useful question. The answer to it is basically this. Both divine persons were in it. The will of God the Father was in it. It's a message from heaven. That's true of the whole Word of God. We've got to read each part in its context, of course. You could isolate a particular statement made by an ungodly person and say, that's from the Word of God. But we've got to read the Bible in its context. And so learn, what is the message? Learn what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. But, you see, the whole testimony of God comes to us. As much as it pleased God to give us, as much as it seemed good to the Holy Spirit to reveal, that's what we've got. And as the other point we are to touch on tells us, it's telling us all that we need to know about spiritual things. Telling us all that we need to know. That's why we're to listen to it. It's come with divine authority. It's God speaking to us. And we are to focus on what we have said to the Church of Laodicea in particular. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, though. We've got to ask ourselves, what is the Holy Spirit saying to me in particular? There were different messages to the different churches, and the church in Laodicea was lukewarm. It was neither cold nor hot. They had some profession of religion, so they weren't cold. The religion wasn't active. So they weren't hot. They were in a totally unsatisfactory condition. How is it with ourselves? Is that the way things are with us? We've got a form of religion, or we wouldn't be here today. In an age like this, there's something being said when people keep coming to church. But how much is being said when people keep coming to church? Is it because they really want to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to them? Is it because they want to hear these things expounded? Is it because they've got a new heart? Are they hot? Well, are we? As individuals, are we? And if we were able to make some assessment of what we are as a church, well, what are we as a church, as a congregation? I'm not going to try to answer that question just now at any rate. As I said, I was going to focus on individuals. But what are we? What have we got? When the Spirit is speaking to the church, when the Spirit was speaking to the church in Laodicea, are we hot? Have we got genuine religion? Is it motivating the whole of our lives? Do we live as godly people, or do we just drag on with a traditional religion? Now, of course, that's better than nothing, but at least under the hearing of the Word of God. But oh, what a responsibility we have if we have been hearing sermon after sermon, and it's done us no real good, just acting as a brake on how we would go on instead of, well, let us put it like that anyway. Instead of rushing on to hell, the Word of God is slowing us down. The Word of God is restraining us. And yet, those who will not believe the gospel will reach hell just as surely as those who make nothing of religion, as those who cast it off altogether. And those who are restrained in this world so that there's particular sins that they do not commit. There are other sins that they commit. There's the rejection of the gospel. Oh, think of that as a fearful sin. Yes. But what is the Spirit saying to that church? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I've got everything I want. It's particularly relevant, perhaps, in an age like this that is so much more than a previous age, and yet this is so that people are still discontented. They haven't got what will give them true content, what will deliver them from covetousness. But anyway, as far as spiritual things are concerned, what are people saying? I don't need religion. I'm fine without religion. I wouldn't live life any better, even if I was religious. Or if they are religious, they might say the same thing because they have a religion and they don't have Christianity. They don't have true Christianity. Though these Laodiceans thought they had everything they needed, they did not know that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They were poor, for instance. They didn't have the riches of Christ. They didn't have what would take them to heaven. And you could go through every part of it. But what's the Spirit saying to the church? What is the Spirit saying to us? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now, I'm not going to apply the individual parts that are there. You've probably heard a number of sermons on that passage. But what I'm going to say is this. Whatever your particular need is, Christ is saying to you, and the Spirit is saying it. Spirit is causing it to be written in the Scriptures. And it comes with the authority of Christ, comes with the authority of the Holy Spirit, and therefore it comes also with the authority of God the Father. Whatever you need, I am able to supply. Christ is saying that. Whether it's that you're not able to see anything wonderful from the Word of God, I am able to give you eyes to see the significance of the Word of God. That's what the Spirit is saying to the churches. That's what the Spirit is saying to us in particular. Christ is speaking to us. He is able to save. He's telling us that. Where are you spiritually? Are you lukewarm? Just an outwardness of religion. Come to Christ, and he can give you all you need. And notice this further. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. He's coming to you. He's coming to the door of your heart. He's knocking. What message has he got? What has he got to say to you? What has he got to tell you? Ah, he's saying, I am dying for sinners. Whatever you need, I am able to supply it. Open the door. Take me in. Receive me. Believe in me. Trust in me. And I will give you all that you need. Oh, sinner, on your way to eternity. That's what Christ is saying to you. Whatever you need, Christ has it. Go to him. Yes. Oh, do you say, I cannot go? I cannot open the door of my hard heart. Well, say to him, thou art able. Put in thy hand, blessed one. Put in thy hand, open the door myself. Open the door of my heart. Make me willing, willing, willing. To come. Yes, now, there's all sorts of things said to churches in their various conditions. To Smyrna, he said, thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. A little strength, oh, blessed are they that have a little strength, it said. Blessed are they who have not denied the name of Christ. Blessed are they that have kept what was given. Just a little strength, well, that's good. Good that they have strength is what I mean. It'd be good if they had more strength. But if they have a little strength, well, let them recognize the littleness of their strength and let them ask for more. Lord, I am weak, save me. Lord, I am weak, deliver me. I have no strength of my own, but thou art able to sustain me. Thou art able to bless me. And then there was what was said to Ephesus. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Things were better once. They're not good now. Things were good at one time. See how the letter to the Ephesians, Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, I mean. See how that is written. See how positive it is. Speaking about what they once were, yes, but then they weren't part of the church. And they've been redeemed. They've been brought in. They've been united to Christ. They are new creatures in Christ Jesus. They are no longer serving diverse lusts and pleasures. They are followers of Christ. But now, things are less good than they are. Now, without trying to analyze what has happened, just let us say there's the danger that people going on in their Christian life may be weaker than once they were. Not as attentive to the Word of God, not as attentive to the duty of prayer. So what is said to them? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous about your Christian profession. Be zealous about walking godly through this world. Be zealous about meditating on the Word of God and seeking God's blessing. Repent. Turn. Yes. Remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen. Remember how it was in better days. Remember how it was at a time when you were less careless than you are now. Repent, turn, seek the Lord. Give up your sins, give up your carelessness, be more earnest. That's the message. And you see, it's the Spirit that is saying these things to the churches. And then there's what is said to Sardis. That's at the beginning of this chapter. I know thy works, and whatever church it is, these words can be said to us as a congregation, to us as a branch of Christ's church. He is saying, I know thy works. Whether others know them, I know them. But I know thy works, that's what's said to Sardis, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. There's a profession. There's a strong profession. There's a clear profession. But thou art dead. Thou art unspiritual. Does it mean that there was no spiritual life at all in that church? I assume not. But even the spiritual ones, even the true Christians, they were acting in many ways as if they were dead. Oh, let us remember this, but it is what the Spirit is saying to the churches. It is the message of Christ to the churches. I know thy works. And oh, there will be a judgment at last. And although we might just note the division that there will be between those who have true spiritual life, who are spiritually alive, and those who are spiritually dead, one thing is true. No unconverted person will enter heaven. And another thing is true. If a sinner has believed, then they will be made perfectly holy when they leave this world. But there's this, the danger of going through this world at a slower speed than they might be. You see, to put it like that, and you can't carry everything over, but if you were to imagine somebody travelling to Tarbert, and they went at a reasonable speed, whatever is a safe, sensible speed in any particular stretch of road. But somebody else decides, I'm going to Tarbert, and they only go at 5 miles an hour. Well, they'll spend an awful lot of time getting there. The others will get there quicker. Well, think of that as far as the spiritual life is concerned. Some will get there better. Some who are holy, who are more dependent on the grace of God, they will get to heaven better. They will make more progress. Our aim should not be just to get to heaven. That's the first thing. But having established that, how well, how much progress are we making? Oh, I'm going to say it's poor progress. Now, it's the Lord that knows how the progress is. But he may apply particular truths to our souls which highlight our deficiencies. What will we say? What does the Spirit say? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, I'm taking that from the Epistle to the Laodiceans rather than the one to Sardis. And then, just let us notice what is said to the church in Thyatira. That which ye have already, hold fast till I come. For one way that people go wrong is in going backwards. They take a looser hold of the truths that have been given to them, the truths that they grasp, the truths that they rested their souls on. But whatever you have, hold it fast and seek to make progress. Those of you who are still unconverted, whatever you have, hold on to. Hold on to a knowledge that the Bible is important, that God is speaking in it. Don't give that up, but make progress. Hold fast what you have. Then make progress. What progress? Oh, to come to Christ. That's it. Come to Christ. But in particular, those who have grace, let them hold fast what they have. Let churches hold fast what they have. And then this, what was said to Smyrna, and I mentioned Smyrna already, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now, every church is told something about the blessing of overcoming, the reward of overcoming, overcoming sin, temptation, hardness of heart, and so on. But Smyrna was told, and every believer is told, he that overcometh in the strength of divine grace, that's it, they will not be hurt by the second death. They will not go down to a lost eternity. But I must go on to this. Let the hearer hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Those who are hearing the word of God will not apply it to inward hearing just now. But all I'm thinking of is those who are hearing the word of God. That's all of us. Let us hear. Let us take it in. Let us pay attention. Let us apply it to our needs. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Yes. And here is something. The Lord speaking in Isaiah's time. And we've heard these words many a time. Let us take them in. Let us yield obedience to them. Incline your ear. Incline your ear and come unto me. Don't allow the words to go past you. Listen. Incline your ear. As deaf people might do, they might lean over towards you and they might place their ear almost in front of your mouth, their mouth, someone's mouth. That's what you're to do. The Lord is speaking. Are you doing what you can to hear? Or are you just letting the words flow by you? Whoever will hear the, well, let them hear, yes. But what about ourselves? Are we to be lost through not hearing the word of God? Let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Let him hear all that is in the word of God. Let him listen. Let each one of us listen, male and female. Oh, are you listening? Incline your ear. And then what? The Lord is saying, come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What are the sure mercies of David? That he would get to heaven. That he would be taken safely through this world, and that he would be brought to heaven at last. That's what it amounts to. And I don't want to take time to go into the details and to explain more carefully why I say that. You see, this is the point just now, that the Lord is speaking to you. He's telling you to listen more carefully, to listen with your soul, to receive the words with your heart, into your very heart. And you may well, and I with you, say, Lord, give me grace to do so. Lord, enable me to receive these truths. I so easily let them slip. Lord, implant them in my soul. What would be the use of if somebody was needing a replacement heart? Physical. If the surgeon came and just placed the replacement heart on top of his chest, didn't take the trouble to open him up and to do all the necessary surgery, what good would that do? Ah, you say, I need a divine surgeon. Well, ask him. Ask him. Seek his help, seek his blessing, seek his operation in your soul. Do not go on as you are. Incline your ear. You say, I can't even do that. My attention wanders. Lord, then say, Lord, keep me. Lord, make me ready to listen. Enable me to receive these things into my soul. Give me thy blessing, so that I will not perish at last. Yes. And the Savior says, my sheep hear my voice. Those who have made into sheep, those to whom I've given a new nature so that they are no longer goats, they hear my voice, and they have heard my voice, and they are following me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And that's how it will be. If you listen to the words of Christ and begin to follow. What does that mean in practice, do you say? Oh, if you listen, and if you believe, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you begin to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if you begin to be obedient, if you begin to go the same way as he does, then all will be well. Yes. He that hath an ear, let him hear. For in one way we all have ears. And we need to get new hearts and new ears in our soul and so on. One thing, you see, one thing that we need is the Lord, is that the Lord would be working. We have a responsibility. And let us never minimize these two things. They may seem to be like the same end of two magnets. You can't put two north poles together without a lot of force. And it might seem that you can't put the fact that we are to be seeking the Lord, we are to be believing, we are to be zealous. We can't put that together without an ability. The necessity for the Lord to work. Well, how can we get them together? By the infinite power of the Holy Spirit working in our souls. That's how. And the Lord is able to do that. So don't you try to put them together. But try to receive both parts and leave it to the Lord to put them together. Ask the Lord to put them together. Many a one has walked away saying, I can't understand. It seems altogether illogical. Well, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him not wander away. Let him not close his ears. These things matter. These things are of tremendous importance. It's the matter of getting salvation for your soul. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. What the Spirit is saying to this church here. Let him hear. You listen. See that you'll be listening. For the Lord is speaking. See that you be listening. The Lord is speaking to you. The Lord is speaking to you today. Be part of your responsibility at the last day to give an account of what you heard today. And whatever else might be said about what you have heard today, you heard a number, quite a number, of statements from the Word of God. Quite a number of the things that the Spirit has heard. And though you would just take one of them and meditate on it and pray over it, or do so. Read over the chapter again, or the two chapters. Read over especially perhaps the epistle to the church in Laodicea and say, this is something that I'm to listen to. Oh, Lord, speak into my soul. Use these words so that I might indeed hear, so that I might indeed believe. For we are told that he that refuseth instruction despises his own soul. That's what it is. You're despising your own soul if you're rejecting what I've been saying. But, he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. It's not all that pleasant to be reproved. It's not all that pleasant when the Holy Spirit reproves a sinner, convincing him of sin. But if he's never convinced of sin, he'll never obtain mercy. And that's a fearful position to be in. Submit then to what the Lord is saying in reproving you. If anything has struck your soul today, then submit to it. Do not put it away. Do not say, I cannot bear to listen to that. For the Lord is speaking. He's speaking to us all. Oh, may he give his ears to hear. But at the same time, he that hath an ear, and we have ears, and more or less that work, physically, that work, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Yes. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not yet hearts, as the children of Israel did, and I'm paraphrasing there. Take heed, brethren, the chapter goes on, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed. If unbelief is what is characteristic of you, take heed, be careful. The Queen of the South shall rise in judgment on the last day, Christ said, with his own generation, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, the wisdom of Solomon is here. She came probably from the southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula to Jerusalem, and that's hundreds, sure, well over 1,000 miles. She made that difficult journey. You don't need to. But are you going to the Solomon of the New Testament with your question? Do you just let a question come into his mind and say, that's too difficult, I can't be bothered going on with that, there's something more interesting to do? She came all these many days' journey so that she would hear the truth from Solomon. Do you always make an effort to come to hear the word of God preached? You'll have to give an account at the last day for that. Queen of the South will rise in the judgment against you. She wasn't a Jew, but she came to hear the truth. You have been brought up in the true religion, and are you making an effort to profit by it? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Yes. Oh, see what the Saviour was saying to places like Capernaum, Perez, and Bethsaida. He was saying, woe unto you! There was Sodom. They will have a better experience in the day of judgment. Those who you may despise because of the greatness of their sins, they will have a better experience on the day of judgment than you if they didn't have your privileges. Think of the solemnity of Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. They heard Christ preaching. They heard his words and they didn't believe. They rejected what he was saying. They didn't listen. They didn't believe. They didn't get good for their souls there. They went down to a lost eternity, except for whoever of them may have repented. Oh, is it going to be like that with the people in this congregation? Are you going to go down to a lost eternity? And that's what it will be. Listen to the word of God. Take every opportunity of coming to it. Make use of your opportunities at home to read what is profitable, the Bible especially. Think over what you have heard. Pray over what you have heard. Do not go down to hell. Oh, can I plead with you? Oh, face up to your responsibility. As a person who has ears to hear, and you have heard the word of God, but take it seriously. Search the scriptures. See what they have to say to you personally. Do not be careless. Do not turn away from what the Lord is saying to you. You've got a Sabbath afternoon in front of you. Surely you can give some time, whatever other duties you might have. You might have to look to your honor. But give time to this, your soul. Go to your bedroom and pray. Take up your Bible and read it. Do what brings the message of salvation to your attention. Otherwise you will be lost. Oh, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear this. Let him listen to this. Let him carry it away. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Holy Spirit and the Church say, come. Is that not the will of whoever I might point, that I would believe to have grace in their heart? Is that not what they are saying when they hear things like they have heard? Oh, that so and so would come. Oh, that everyone would come. Come to Christ, that is. Let him that heareth say, come. You who are here, you are to say, come to Christ. Christ is saying, come to you. You are to say, come to Christ. Come, Lord. Come and bless my soul. Come and work by thy Holy Spirit in my heart and soul. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. If you are thirsting for anything, come to Christ, and you will get something better. If you are thirsting for salvation, if that is so, come to Christ, and he will give it to you. Let him that is athirst come, and take the water of life freely. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Help us, Lord. Bless thy word to our souls. Open our ears so that we might hear it. Do not leave us. Oh, bless us. Keep us in care. Remember us with that love that thou bearest to thine own. Give us that love. Visit us with thy salvation. Visit us with thy Holy Spirit. When the Spirit has been speaking to us, then grant that the Spirit would work, that the Spirit would apply the truth, that the Spirit would give us new hearts. Lord, bless us. Do not leave us to ourselves, but wash away our sin. Meet with us in the evening. Bless all who have been hearing thy word. Oh, grant that there would be a turning to thyself. Make us willing, make us obedient. Come, Lord, and do us good. Come and bless us. Pardon us our sin. Oh, that we would have ready ears to hear. Lord, keep us. May we hold fast what we have. May we not be allowed to drift away. Oh, do wonderful things. Come and work. Come and work by thy Spirit. And may we have thy blessing. May we feel our need. May we know how much we need. May we know how much we need the Holy Spirit. And save us from the careless attitudes that we so naturally have. Save us from resisting and rejecting thy word. But oh, may we submit to it. Draw us by thy grace. And may we say, come, Lord Jesus, come and bless my soul. And may we have true spiritual blessings, the pardon of sin, true repentance, for his sake. Amen.